Today, we're coming to you from the messy middle. It's the Good Glow podcast with Dominique Nugent. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you by Dove's Advanced Care Body Wash. If you're looking for that extra step in your self-care routine that goes a long way, this is it. Dove's Advanced Care Body Wash is powered by 24-hour renewing micro-moisture technology, which means it doesn't just clean your skin, it actually nourishes it too. Millions of tiny moisturizing droplets get to work as soon as you step into the shower, and even better, keep working hours after you step out. So if you're ready to treat your skin to something truly nourishing, Dove Advanced Care Body Wash is available nationwide. Trust me, your skin will thank you. Dominique Nugent's open relationship with so many people in Ireland began in 2020 when she announced that she'd called off her wedding after finding out about infidelity in her relationship with her fiancé. We spoke just weeks later on this podcast, and let's just say that episode almost broke the internet. I'll link it if you missed it. Today, Dominique is back. A couple of years later, she married someone from her past, Paddy, a former flame who was always the one. Over the past 2 years, they have bravely and generously shared their journey with miscarriage and IVF. As I said, today we're coming to you from the messy middle. But what does that mean? On The Good Glow, I usually talk about the overcoming. The stories I share are almost like victory speeches from the finish line. But I know that I would be doing a disservice to every woman on a fertility journey if that was the podcast I released today. Instead, I felt there was a need to speak to someone who, like thousands of you, is right in the middle of this journey. This is for you who are going through it, for your partners, for your friends and family, and for the people you love. And for the rest of us, this is a chance to educate ourselves. And Dominique shares so bravely today. Before we get into it, I just want to gently remind everyone that this is Dominique's story, and I by no means wanted or expected her to speak on behalf of everyone going through IVF. This is simply her story from her point of view. And we know that every single journey is unique and different. Also to mention, Dom speaks about baby loss from minute 8 to 14. So if that could be sensitive to you, please skip past those 6 minutes. Dominique Nugent, welcome to The Good Glow, my dear, beautiful friend and one of actually the most popular guest on The Good Glow ever. Did you know that your first episode we did together got the most downloads of The Good Glow ever in history?
What the hell? Oh my God, that's actually mad. I can't believe that.
18 seasons, you were my number one podcast. But that is the connection that you have with people in Ireland. And you so generously shared such a heartbreaking time in your life. And I guess your journey with women in Ireland started from there, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I feel like a lot has happened over the last 5 years, and they've all been like really big experiences. So I feel like at each kind of those things that happened, like say the heartbreak or talking about my miscarriage and now IVF, like they're all things that are really prevalent in our age group. So people were able to obviously relate to different things along the way.
Let's go back actually, can we, to that first episode that we recorded together. It was the height of lockdown. We were in the same building, but in different rooms for social distancing. What did it feel like? Because I know I spoke to you about, I had sleepless nights that week because it just felt like such a big moment. And I knew there was going to be such a big reaction to the podcast. But what did it feel like for you when that came out?
It was like overwhelming, the response online. Like I had obviously spoke about it on my social media before then, but I think actually putting it all out on a podcast, people were able to really see what was going on. It was a bit more behind the scenes really, as like I was talking about it more in detail. So like I was so anxious about that podcast coming out as well. It was the very first podcast I ever did, but I had always listened to The Good Glow. And I remember my friend Emma saying, before you ever asked me, like, this story will be one that's on The Good Glow. I know it will. And it was so mad when you actually messaged me then and asked me to come on. I remember texting her and she was like, I told you. So it was mad. Like, it feels like so long ago. It almost feels like another life. Like, so much has happened since then. But it was a lovely reaction to get. after the podcast came out. And yeah, like, I suppose people do know a lot about my personal life, but I am an oversharer, clearly. But I also feel like talking about those situations that I've been through, if they help one person, it's worth it. But they do also help me. It's kind of like talking is therapy for me.
I love that. It was like you turned your pain into purpose, and almost to get through that time by you speaking about it and people finding comfort in your words, it was actually helping you move forward as well. So now, I mean, every morning when you open your eyes and see Paddy, your gorgeous husband, beside you, does it feel like your life was like a sliding doors moment? Like you're in, your life now was something that almost didn't happen for you. And when we look at you, we just see such happiness and joy and see you with your true soulmate. You know, it's like you were always together. But does it feel like, God, my life could have been so much different?
I know. Like sometimes when I think of that, because that all happened August 2020. And every year around that date, I think, God, my life has changed so much since then. But in the best way possible. There is a quote to live by, you know, trust the timing of your life. And that has really being something that I lived by, because all of that stuff that happened to me was supposed to happen because I was supposed to be with Paddy all along.
It's so lovely, and I was so lucky to be at your wedding and actually see how much Paddy means to your family and your dad's speech. And I think on the day there was just such a sense of celebration, and we were, everyone was so happy that you had found your soulmate. So you've been so generous in sharing so much already, and then came a new chapter and a new decision as to whether you were going to share exactly what was going on. So tell us a little bit about what married life has been like and the challenges that you guys have faced together.
So married life has been great. We're married just over 2 years now. Like, not a lot changed when we actually got married, but like, it's just been amazing. And we both always knew that we wanted children. Like, we actually spoke about that on our second date, which was quite early. But you know, when you meet somebody and you're in your 30s, they're the questions you need to ask early on. So we both knew we wanted children, but we wanted to get married first. So we got married in June and we had our honeymoon in September. And it was kind of after that that we decided, okay, we'll actually try to have a baby now. And I got pregnant a month later, which was such a shock to me. I don't know why, I always had in my head, this isn't going to be easy for me, which is really weird now to think of. But when I got pregnant so easily that time, I felt like I was in shock for the first couple of months. And then sadly, it ended in a late miscarriage in January and we lost our baby girl at 15 and a half weeks. So that experience was extremely difficult. And I had no real idea of the process of what my body would have to go through when it was a late miscarriage. Like, I didn't realize I would have to be brought into hospital and induced and go through contractions and labor and deliver the baby. That was, I'm actually glad I didn't know before going into hospital. And just like all of the months after that were so difficult. And Paddy was amazing all along. Even like in hospital, like, I feel like I'm an anxious person and he's so calm. So we really balance one another out. So like,
tell us her name, Dominique.
Winter was her name.
And it was very important for you to name your little girl.
Yeah. Cause at the time we actually, when I delivered Winter, we didn't actually know whether it was a girl or a boy. And we saw her and spent some time with her in the hospital, but we still didn't know at that stage the gender. They said, like, physically, I thought this is a girl when I looked at her. But they said, like, realistically, you can't really tell right now. So we got genetic testing done on the placenta. So we didn't find out that information for 3 months after. So at that stage, all the nurses and midwives were saying we could name the baby a neutral name. And I don't know why. I thought like from the very beginning I was having a girl. Do you know when you just have a gut feeling? I thought like it was a girl. And I was like, no, I'd rather wait and see. So we didn't actually find that out until the genetic testing came back 3 months later. And that's when we named her.
Do you like talking about her, Dom? Or
yeah, I think it's nice to talk about her. Like, I think that's something that people around you struggle with more than you. Like, I think it's harder when people don't acknowledge what has happened because it's such a big deal. Like, it's something that really happened. It was a real baby. It's a real loss and it's real grief that you go through after it. So I think that's the only thing. People are so afraid to say the wrong thing, but all they have to say is, I'm sorry for your loss, rather than just saying nothing when they see it. I know it can be awkward, and I'm not talking about complete strangers. I mean, like family and close friends. So I think that's all you want is for them to acknowledge that you've been through this and it was a real baby that you were carrying, because you have been like planning everything since the moment you get like a positive pregnancy test. So then for it all to be gone so quickly and your life to shift, it's really, really difficult. And the grief and the aftermath is even worse than like what's going on at the time, because there's just so many emotions, like leaving the hospital without the baby and then going back and collecting like a tiny coffin and burying that. Like, it's just so much, and it's something you think you're never going to have to go through. But like, again, like when I shared that online, so many people do go through it, and I felt a lot of comfort from people's stories at that time as well. So yeah, I always find it good to share these things. It does help.
Because I was reading something and it just really hit me this week. It was about miscarriage, and it said, these are the stories that can be invisible. And it's such a huge event in your life, and yet sometimes your closest circle don't know what to say. How was Paddy during that time, and was he an incredible support to you?
He's just amazing. Like, he's always knows the right thing to say to me. I felt like he was really trying to be like a strong person for me, and obviously it affected him so much as well. Obviously it's the woman's body who goes through things physically, but it's both of you that go through it emotionally. Like, I think he was just trying to be the strong one for me. So when I was really upset, he was just trying to reassure me and, you know, that we would get through that difficult time. Because I remember, like, when that happened, I was like, I can't go through that again. Like, we can't, like, we're not going to have kids now. Because I just didn't think I could go through that again. And it's just the fear that it could happen. Like, it might not happen again, but it could. And then when we had the genetic testing done and they came back, everything was normal, so they couldn't tell us why it happened. We then made a decision to try again, and I was pregnant again the month later, and that ended in an early miscarriage. So after that, I was like, no, I can't deal with this again. Like, that was obviously quite a different experience because it was so early. But it was still like, it really knocked my confidence, because a lot of people had said, oh, it's like, it's 1 in 4, the chances of having a miscarriage. So if you have 4 pregnancies, one of them are likely to end in miscarriage. So I was like, okay, that's my one. It won't happen again. And then when it happened early again, I was like, oh God, I hope it's not like the case of it's just going to keep happening and happening. So I was really worried about that. So we decided then to have a break from it. And it was coming into summertime. I think that was around May. So we just said we'd take the summer off from thinking about it, because it does consume you. Like, I know at that stage we had been lucky and got pregnant straight away, but like, if you are trying to get pregnant and it's taken a long time, which it has since then, since we start trying again, every month it's like you feel so deflated and you feel like you have to deliver bad news. Like, I felt like I had to tell Paddy every month, and he'd be like, oh, do you know, you're due your period around now. So he'd know when it was supposed to happen. And then when it came, I felt like, oh, I'm the bearer of bad news all the time. And I'd be so upset that day or two. And then I'd be like, okay, we'll try again for next month. But it can be so deflating every month, and I'd be so upset. And he was always like really steady, really supportive, and was like, it'll happen next month, it will happen next month. And then like towards like when it was like 7 months, 8 months, I think he had stopped saying it will happen next month. Now, and I know so many people, their journey is a lot longer than this. It's just obviously because we had been through miscarriages, I feel like this journey has been kind of long, because I was pregnant 2 years ago.
Obviously, when you get your period, it's a very private moment because you're always by yourself, you know, in that disappointment and in that, what does it feel like each month when you feel that it's, that you're about to get your period? Is it heartbreak or?
Yeah, I think it is heartbreak. You have so much hope. And if you're a day late, you're almost planning, oh my God, I'm pregnant. There was a couple of times that I did pregnancy tests if I was a day or two late, and then they were negative. So I feel like that was even harder, actually seeing it on a pregnancy test. But it is just, it's such a heartbreaking feeling because you build up so much hope in those weeks leading up to it, and then it doesn't happen. And it's like, okay, we have to go through this all again. And it's just not a fun process. And you're constantly thinking in between, like when you talk of like a 2 week wait, you're constantly thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. Or I was thinking, we can't go away. Like I turned down so many things last year, really big opportunities, like a work trip to Dubai, another one to the Caribbean, that I was just like, oh no, what if I'm pregnant? Like you do put your life on hold, because I was like, I wouldn't want to do a long haul flight. I wouldn't want to be doing this just in case. It's always just in case I'm pregnant. Or if Paddy would say we would go on a night out, and I'm like, well, no, I can't have a drink. Like I'm really trying not to in those 2 weeks. It's just, you're constantly planning for if I might be pregnant, and then such a disappointment when you're not.
Talk to me about that feeling like your life is on hold. I feel like there's a lot of girls in my life at the moment, and I don't know if fertility feels like such a big topic at the moment because so many people are being so generous and sharing and telling their friends. But what does it feel like when you have to put your life on hold? Because there's so many people listening to this who have just gone, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, like it's difficult. Like I remember when I was saying that to you there about not going on those work trips, I remember saying to my sister, like, oh, I just can't go. What if I'm pregnant? And she was like, you'd be fine to go on a plane. But you're just constantly trying to navigate this journey of trying to get pregnant and trying to alleviate any risks. So it's just such a difficult journey. And it's such a long process, even from to when you start doing testing originally for IVF. I thought when we made the decision, okay, we'll do an egg retrieval next month and I'll be pregnant 2 months later. Like we started this in January and I'm still not anywhere near there. So learning to have patience is a big thing. I'm impatient at the best of times, but learning to have patience is something I've really had to try and work on, because it's such a long process. And I know so many people are going through it and are going through it for years and years. And I actually spoke to a girl yesterday. I went in to get my hair done and she was like, thank you for sharing that. She was so nice. And she was like, one of my friends said, I just lost myself when I was going through that. And I think that's really common because you don't, it's like you do hide yourself from certain things, kids' birthday parties or baby showers, different things like that, because you're going through such heartbreaking time and those around you are living the joy that you want, having kids and having kids' parties or organising for them going back to school. You can feel really alienated and isolated in those times, but there are such happy times for your friends, so you want to be there as well. So I think it's just so hard to have those two emotions constantly coexisting. My little sister is pregnant at the moment and I am so excited to have a new niece or nephew, but I know she was really nervous to tell me that she was pregnant. And I think that's something as well that people struggling with fertility will know, because it's so hard to be the friend or the family member that people are nervous to tell good news to. I've seen so many people's faces over the last 2 years that have told me the news, and I can see it in them that they're so worried about telling me.
Yeah.
Initially, obviously, you're so happy for them, and then quietly you can be so heartbroken for yourself that that's not you.
Yeah, and that's okay. I remember we had Pia and my brother Mick had Finn, and then it almost feels like, okay, it's your turn to have the next baby. But we were waiting so long for Tali. They got pregnant again on their second while I was waiting for my second. And I remember he rang me to tell me, I think I was one of the first people they told, but I could tell that his heart was broken having to tell me, you know. And it's not the same because I already had a baby, but like, how did your sister tell you, or was she very worried?
Yeah, she was really worried. She didn't actually tell any of my family until she was 3 months. Like, she told my mom a couple of days before her 3 month scan, and she's still living at home. And I think, like, we're so close. I think if I hadn't have been through everything I have, she would have told me a lot sooner. So that was obviously hard to deal with as well, because I didn't want it to affect how close we are, and it hasn't. But at the time, like, when it's like, when she came up to tell me, she looked so worried, like she was going to cry. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. And you are, like, you only want the best for your sisters or your friends. But you can just tell how much it takes for them to tell you that news. They must feel a little bit like, oh God, like, I have to tell her this, knowing what she's been through. Grace, one of my best friends, she was pregnant and has had my little godson now. But I remember when she came to tell me, she was roaring crying. And I was like, what? And she was like, I was so scared you'd be annoyed. And like, you obviously don't know the emotions. I was like, are you mad? Why would I be annoyed? I'm delighted for you. But you just, obviously it builds these things up in your head so much when you're the person that has to tell someone that's going through fertility issues that it's happened for you.
Yeah. And it's so true that joy and heartbreak can exist at the same time. And I think it's really brave of you to say that I'm so happy for my sister. And your sister's Victoria. She is one of your biggest cheerleaders. Even I know Victoria from her just being so supportive of you. And Grace, of course, your best friend. But I think it's really brave to say that you can be really happy for somebody, but your heart can also be broken at the same time.
Yeah, and that's an emotion. They're emotions that you really have to get comfortable with when you're going through IVF, because they coexist throughout the whole process, not just hearing news like that. You can be so happy when you get a successful egg retrieval, and then you can have a setback like a miscarriage. They're constant hope and fear, or joy and heartbreak. They just totally coexist the whole time. I remember feeling guilty that I was sad for myself in those instances when people told me happy news. I was so happy for them and sad for myself. And I remember saying to Paddy, like, I feel so guilty that I feel sad for myself. I shouldn't be thinking this. Like, I should just be happy for them and that's it. But he was like, this is so normal, and they would completely understand it.
I feel like that's a part of life that we just don't talk about.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you said you feel guilty. So it's only normal that you would hide that emotion if it makes you feel guilty. But I think it's so brave of you to actually say that out loud. And it's going to make so many women feel seen.
Like, I'm so happy for everyone that it has all worked out. But I understand that I can still go home and feel a little bit sad for myself in those times as well. And I do think that is important as well. And I think Paddy taught me that a lot, because he was like, this is okay.
I think acknowledgement from a partner, I feel so lucky that Jamie really understands me emotionally. And I often think of people who are in relationships and their partner might just keep telling them that everything is going to be okay all the time. And you feel like screaming. Like, that's not what you need sometimes. Sometimes you just need somebody to just see.
Yeah.
A short break to thank Dove Advanced Care Body Wash for supporting the Good Glow this season. If your self-care needs an upgrade, you can choose to deeply nourish, hydrate, gently scrub or revive with 11 gorgeous variants. This week, I chose to pamper. Not only does it smell delicious, but it leaves my skin feeling so, so soft. It's also free from sulfates, has biodegradable ingredients and is packaged in recycled plastic bottles. So say goodbye to dry skin this season and step out feeling more beautiful and confident in your own skin with thanks to Dove Advanced Care Body Wash.
Yeah, like, what are those moments like for you and Paddy? How do you guys come together and pick yourselves up or stay positive? Is it just kind of open communication? Do you have little rituals? Like, is there anything that you do together?
Yeah, I think it really is open communication. As you said there, it's so important to, you know, like, acknowledge when things aren't going right. When he was saying every month, this will happen next month, this will happen next month. I remember when we were around, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, and I was like, stop saying that. You know, I just want you to be sad with me. And he was like, I don't want us to both be really sad. So he tries to pick me up. And he is definitely the positive one in all of this. Like, I am the what if person. Like, when we got good news the other day from our consultant, after it, like, it was such a relief, like a weight had been lifted. And he was like, you need to cry, don't you? And I do. I feel like I need to just release it. And he was like, what are you feeling right now? And I was like, happy. And he was like, okay. And I was like, and also so scared. And he was like, of course you are. Like, I'm always experiencing two emotions. But he was like, what are you scared about? And I was like, the next stage and that not working out. And he was like, take it as it's happening right now. We just got good news. Live in the moment that this has happened now. We're happy. Everything is positive so far. And stop thinking about the next stage and everything that can go wrong. So he was really good in that way.
So tell us then, you decided to embark on an IVF journey, for want of a better word, in January. So can you share anything about what that time has been like for you?
Yeah, so we actually went originally just to get some tests done in January because we had been trying around 5 or 6 months, and I had kind of made a deadline, like, if we hadn't gotten pregnant, I was looking at different statistics online for my age, and if you're 35 and you haven't gotten pregnant within 6 months, or if you have any underlying conditions, which I do, like, I have ulcerative colitis and I'm on different, you know, immunosuppressant drugs for that. So I thought, like, these are all things that could hinder a pregnancy. But we had all the tests done, everything came back normal the whole time, which in a way is obviously great, but it just doesn't give you any answers. Like, sometimes when you have an answer, you can work on it. But I just felt like every month I was just getting older. And, like, it's like my birthday every year. I think, I wonder if I'll have a baby by my next birthday. So, like, I love, like, birthdays and stuff. I really drag them out. But, like, each year now, just over, like, the last kind of 2 years, I think they're thoughts that I've had, like, oh God, like, this is another year older. And the statistically, you know, your chances go down each year. So anyway, the consultant had recommended that we do IVF. So we decided to embark on that journey. And that's, like, we've done now the egg retrieval and we are trying to time out a time to actually do the transfer. So that's kind of like the timeline of the process so far. I remember just thinking it would be so quick and it's just so dragged out. The next step, I suppose, is the transfer.
Okay. I feel like even when you're talking about that, you're just not, it's almost like you're very kind of matter of fact about it, which I presume you have to be to protect your peace.
It's just such a waiting game for the whole thing. And I feel like I can't get my hopes up too much. Like, I don't want to think, oh, I could be pregnant by this Christmas. But in the back of my head, I still do think that, but I don't want to. It's like, you don't want to get your expectations too high. You need to manage your expectations because it might not work out that way. And our consultant was hopeful that with the embryos we got that I will have a successful pregnancy. But he was just like, I can't obviously say for sure that you won't have another miscarriage or, you know, that something won't go wrong. So it's just, there's just always a risk there that you need to be mindful of. So I'm just trying not to get my hopes up too much with this journey, but also not be negative.
Yeah. And you're doing that so well. I hope you're able to give yourself credit for even the way you're speaking today. It's just incredible. Do you feel like you, like when you get your period, that you almost owe people? Like, do you feel like you need to tell people that you're not pregnant or that you got your period because you're wondering if they're wondering?
Yeah. I feel like people are constantly like, not watching, but like watching to see if I have an alcoholic drink if I'm at a dinner, or I feel like I have to say, oh, I'm not pregnant, because I do think they're thinking, oh, could she be this month? And yeah, I think that's hard as well. And obviously I have shared everything, so people are bound to kind of guess. And especially online, like I've got messages saying, I hope that's a bump I see there. And I'm like, it's not. It's difficult because I have shared it. People are going to have questions. So I do feel like I have to say, oh, I'm not pregnant now, whenever like that time arises. But yeah.
It's just part of it, isn't it? I'm sure every single woman going through that feels that way, that it's almost like they owe people an explanation, which you absolutely do not. But it's probably only natural that you're going to feel like that. I think me personally, if I have a friend who's going through IVF or is going through fertility issues, like I feel like I don't know what to say. And that is me being completely honest. My job is communicating with women. You know, I feel like I do it well, but I do feel I am totally one of those people that doesn't know what to say because I don't want to say the wrong thing. So what helps? What can people say to their friend, to their family, that will help?
I think I definitely appreciate that. It is a difficult topic, and I completely understand that people feel nervous about maybe upsetting the person who is going through fertility issues or just worried about saying the wrong thing. But I think the silence is more deafening than actually acknowledging it. Acknowledging it, I think, is so important, because it's like the elephant in the room if you don't. Like, trying not to fix the problem, trying not to say certain things. A lot of people said to me, at least you can get pregnant. Like, that was something that I thought, okay, well, hasn't actually worked out when I have gotten pregnant. So I think trying to just understand, listen to the person and not try to fix their problem, because you can't. Yes. Nobody can fix it. You can't even fix it yourself. That's a thing that I think helps people. Obviously, we're really awkward around my miscarriages as well. And it's just the same type of subject. People are just so afraid to upset you. But like, you don't need to say anything. You can say, I understand this is such a difficult time for you. If you want to talk about it, you can talk to me. And you're not looking for them to say, this is going to work for you or whatever. It's just to actually listen to you rather than offer solutions of, you'll be pregnant in 6 months, I can guarantee, because you can't guarantee that for your friends or your family member. So it's just listening, really.
And I think as well, like, you could say to your friend, do you want me to ask for updates or would you rather bring it up yourself?
Yeah.
And literally acknowledge, I don't know whether to bring this up or not. Yeah. What would you prefer that I do?
Yeah. And that's a really good thing to do as well, because there's some days you just don't want to talk about it. And then a lot of the time I feel like when things are happening in my life, they consume my thoughts. So it is always on my mind. So sometimes talking about it really does help. But asking that question, I think, is really good, because sometimes you just want a distraction from it. You just want to go for dinner or go to the cinema and not talk about that. And then other times, like when you're obviously going through the process, like say in the lead up to an egg retrieval, they obviously know you're doing medication and your hormones might be higher than usual. So just acknowledging that is also good. But yeah, I think just talking about it helps, but also letting the person take the lead on whether they actually want to discuss it or not, because I obviously do find it helpful for me. Some people are completely different and don't want to talk about it at all and just want to have it between themselves and their partner. And that's okay as well, if that's your personality type. Mine is obviously not that. I find talking helps a lot when I'm talking to my family and friends. I think having a little bit of support other than your partner does help. because it can feel so isolating. Otherwise, you can feel like you're the only person going through this and just feel like you're on such a different journey to your friends. Like, say, in my close friends group, I'm the only one who doesn't have children now. So you can feel like, do you know, you're the odd one out. You have to just trust the timing of your own life and not go by other people's timelines.
Yeah, no better woman than you to trust the timing of your life.
Yeah.
And it's always worked out in such a beautiful way for you, Dom. The last question I have for you is, what has this experience taught you about yourself?
I think just that I am quite resilient. I think the journey has been difficult over the last 2 years, but I've gotten through it all. Like, at the times where it was really difficult, even like after the first miscarriage, saying, no, I can't go through this again, then to go through IVF. Like, I wouldn't have thought I'd be here January, like that time. I wouldn't have thought, okay, I'd be at a stage where I'd be comfortable to do IVF and risk that heartbreak again. But I am, because I think the want for a child is bigger than the risk of it going wrong again. But I think it just showed me kind of how strong I can be and that I can get through these type of things. It's just a chapter in my life. It's not the whole story.
I know. And it feels like if you could grab a crystal ball and just see into the future, like, that's probably all that you want right now.
Yeah.
But as you said, you have to trust the timing of your life. And just before you go, by sharing your story, you've obviously connected with so many people who are going through this, probably people who haven't even told their family that they're going through it. And, you know, like I said in the intro, you're not here to speak on behalf of everyone going through IVF. But what is the community like of women who are on a fertility journey?
It's probably the most supportive community that I think I have amassed so far in my social media kind of career. Because everyone understands the struggle and the fear and the hope that you have when you're going through IVF. And they just are really uplifting. And people, like, when I put out that first post, I said at the end of it, if you feel comfortable to share your positive story, I know it will help other people. Because for me, the girls that were sharing online their journeys, they were the pages I was gravitating towards, because I wanted to see them get a happy outcome from IVF. And I purposely said your positive stories because I felt like I needed to stay in a positive headspace before. And I got thousands of messages from people, and people that I never knew obviously went through IVF. People who messaged me directly rather than writing on the post because they said they weren't comfortable with saying it publicly. So it opened up such a huge community, and everyone has been so nice, so supportive. Like, nearly every message was like, if you want to talk to somebody, I'm here. Obviously, it's so nice to hear, because my friends or family might not understand what this journey is like, but those girls and those women, they do. It's a really good outcome to come from sharing my story.
Yeah. And I think just as we end this podcast, I will say on behalf of all the women that you've inspired and given hope to over the last couple of years, thank you, Dominique, for being so vulnerable and open. And you are just yourself all the time. And I don't think you realize how comforting you are to other people and how much support that you are actually giving to people by sharing your story. So thank you so much. I didn't know if you'd say yes to coming on to talk about this, because as we said, when we were chatting to each other last week, we're in the messy middle and there is no answers right now, but it's okay to talk about the messy middle sometimes.
Yeah. And that was such an accurate description of what it is. When you said that, I was like, that's exactly what this feels like. And I know you said on The Good Glow, you normally talk about the good stories, like the happy endings and all that. But I think it is nice to acknowledge the in-between as well. And hopefully there will be a happy outcome at the end of it all.
Thank you so much, Dom. We're all with you. Best of luck over the next weeks and months. And as I said, thank you for being such a huge part of The Good Glow. You're so special to me and everyone who listens. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Dominique for opening up so much on the podcast today. I'm so grateful to her. I feel like she's so articulate when it comes to telling her story, and she's so wise. I'm sure she's made a lot of people feel seen today, and that was my intention with this podcast. We would love to hear from you. I have linked Dominique's Instagram in the show notes and mine, so please do send us a message today. We would love your feedback on this podcast. So we're into September now, and how exciting. New energy, new season, new vibes. And what does September mean? Well, for me, it means the September reset is here. This is the perfect opportunity to shift your energy and put your focus back on you. I have a 10-day challenge coming your way, but the best thing is it only takes 10 minutes per day. That is 1% of your day. I have incredible content coming for you. I will send it directly to you every morning on how you can ground yourself and create space, clear mental and emotional clutter, learn how to protect your energy for the next part of the year. So important. Tackle overwhelm, strengthen habits that will take you forward. And most importantly, pause, breathe, and reset. I think we all need a reset at the moment. The early bird offer is available for a short time. I've left a link in the show notes. I would love you to join me for the September reset starting on September 8th. Also left a link for tickets for our Christmas show. We've gone to low availability. It's on December 6th, the National Concert Hall. If you want to come along, get together, have a sing song, we're going to be there from 7 p.m. And tickets will be going pretty quickly now that we are into September. Huge thanks again to Dominique for everything today. Big thanks to Dove for supporting the Good Glow. And next week, I have a very exciting podcast coming your way. So stay tuned for that.